Well, it's great that you guys are doing that 30-day prayer and fasting and seeking God. You know, there is a fresh building move of the Spirit of God across our nation. In fact, across Australasia, we spend quite a bit of time in and out of New Zealand, and it's just interesting the churches there and the churches here, the increasing commitment to prayer, pastors gathering together across the cities and praying like we've not seen in a lot of years. And also, I notice in churches that, you know, they can still be singing the same song, but there's a different sense in the place. You go into churches and you just feel that lift of the Spirit that's beginning to build. And so I want to encourage you, you know, all of the things that we do in church life, which are good and meaningful, can become routine. You know, it's like people that speak in tongues, but there's no longer any anointing. It's just a mechanical blabbering away, if I can say that, you know, instead of engaging faith and expectation and, you know, pushing through in the Spirit. And it's the same with prayer. You know, you can have prayer meetings and you can have prayer meetings, you know. It's up to you. It's how hungry you are, how desperate you are. And often in a country like Australia, where we're pretty blessed, amen, how many know what I'm talking about? You're pretty how much to be here. And so you can end up with a misconception about how much we need God. You know, it's almost like you've got money in the bank, you know, you're kind of reasonably comfortable, and we can get lulled into a false sense of security, and actually we desperately need God. How many know that our nation really needs God right now? And so we become the catalyst, we become the carriers of His presence, and it's all about spiritual atmospheres at the end of the day, and it's about, you know, breaking through with that. So I just want to really encourage you with that. You know, as you step into these next 30 days, the gentleman looking at me there, don't turn around, I'm talking to you. Is that your wife, or is that just you on your own, or that's your wife? Okay. This is what I felt the Lord saying to me about you, is that there was a time when where you were really concerned about your future. You wondered, what on earth is going to become of me? What is going to happen to us? How are we going to make it? And God has brought you this far by His grace, brought you out of those circumstances, out of that situation, out of that place of fear and apprehension. But I feel like the Lord is saying to me that there's a residue of that still in your life, because you still worry about your future. You still are concerned about your future. And I feel like the Lord saying, no, just don't be concerned about your future. I brought you this far, and I will take you on by my grace, see. Amen. And so I just break that apprehension off your life right now in Jesus' name. The fear of the future, I break it off you in Jesus' name. And I want to say to you, your life is secure. He has His hand upon your life. He will watch over you, provide for you, protect you all the days of your life. And so you need to just relax in that, you know. Just relax in that. Where's the, no, there's the lady right there. I'm looked at you, when you're up there, this is what the Lord said to me, don't worry about your kids. Do not worry about your children. Just relax. The Lord has His hand upon you. You're doing a good job. Amen. You're doing a good job, you know. And you just need to, you know, God's on your case. It's all right. It's all good. The couple over there, this is what the Lord said to me about you. There's a much greater favor on your life than you realize. But you're at a season where you need to kind of lift your expectation and lift your faith. Because you're reasonably comfortable, you know. And it's not that you know, you're not backslidden. You're not walking away from God. You're walking with the Lord. But I feel like the Lord wants you to begin to believe Him for greater things. You know, believe Him for a greater manifestation of His presence, His power, His love, His provision. Because there's favor all around your life. And I feel like God just wants to bring you into a season of a greater expression of His favor in your life and touching all the circumstances around your life, see. But faith is always the channel. Expectation is always the channel. And so I feel like there's an encouragement of the Lord to say, come on, you know, believe me for you know, just kind of get a bit crazy with your faith. You know, just get out there and begin to believe God, see, for real breakthrough and real manifestation of His presence and power in your life. And Father, I just call in a new season of favor and blessing over their life right now. According to your purpose, they're just going to release in their lives and work, even in the circumstances around your life that you're concerned about. The Lord says, I've got my hand on that. I'm already working in those things, see. It's a time for a new day in your life. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm looking at you. You are a good lady. And, you know, God has His hand on your life. And you need to realize there's much more. He has much more for you. You don't need to kind of feel like you're not important or you're just struggling to get by or life's like this, because God has a great future for you, you know. Amen. And so you just need to relax in that and walk with that. Actually, I could say that over a whole bunch of you, like ladies right here. Like, don't lose the radical edge of your life. Don't let people shut you down, close you in, tell you how to do it. You just walk with Jesus and stay a bit crazy, you know. Just because you're a bit crazy, aren't you? You know, you kind of. That's good. That's good. You're crazy in a good way. But see, what happens is people want to shut you down. They want you to be like them. But you don't want to be like them because they're not having any fun. You're having fun, but they're not. So, you know, you just got to just keep walking that out. Just keep the integrity of your heart with the Lord, but don't let people tell you how to do life, you know. Just walk with Him. There's leadership on your life. You know, there's a natural leadership gift on your life. But you know what the problem with that is? You now got to be responsible how you influence people. Because you influence people very easily, see. And because they naturally follow just, you know, what's on your life, see. But now you got to learn how to conduct yourself in such a way that you're always influencing them in the right way, you know. And I'm not saying you're not doing that. I'm just saying that with giftings comes responsibility, you know, and the ability to carry that. Amen. Amen. And you are a mother in Israel. You know that. You mother all these ones. You can. You do. And you have that capacity, don't you? You love young people.
Yes.
Yes, you do. And so, again, you know, the way you influence them becomes really important, how you conduct yourself with that. And so, you know, just, no, I'm talking to you. You know, I said to these guys over here about favor on their life, but there's favor on your life. And I don't know what you do, but there's an entrepreneurial gift on your life. You know, you have an ability, and God wants to bless you financially. And over your life, you'll handle a lot of money if you'll allow Him to lead you in that. See, and He'll get it to you if He can get it through you. If you try and hang on to it, it'll dry up. Your channels, see, we're all channels, but there's a whole. It's like an untapped potential in your life in that area. See that. But I don't know, you know, are you in business or you're an accountant? But, you know, you're more than an accountant. You're an entrepreneur. There's an entrepreneurial thing on you, like a creative thing, you know. But I don't think you've really experimented with that too much, because I think probably as an accountant, you're very careful, aren't you? And sometimes, you know, entrepreneurs normally go broke two or three times before they break through, you know. So that's a bit contrary to an accountant's way of thinking, isn't it? But, you know, there's a creativity with you in business and in the ability to generate finance, you know. And And you know, he'll use that in the days ahead. Amen. Amen. So tonight, I want to talk to you tonight about the power of a sanctified imagination. Basically, what I'm talking to you about tonight is how to break out of mediocrity. You know, how many know God's got a lot more for you? Come on, even some of your older ones, you know. What happens as you get older, you got a lot to process and you start to cruise and think like you've already, well, you know, what can I do? Well, come on. As long as you're breathing air, God's not finished with you. You know, that's just a fact. Your mission on earth is not finished if you're still breathing. And so there's more of that. And so I want to talk to you about the power of a sanctified imagination. I'm not just talking about your imagination. I'm talking about where your imagination comes under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And understanding that God has given us an imagination, see. It's part of the way you are created. There's part of your mind that we call imagination. And, you know, we'll unpack some of that as we go along. Now, here's the point. Everything starts with a thought. Everything starts with an impression. Everything comes from a seed thought. A thought, a seed impression, a seed imagination. The latest car in the showrooms in the city started with a thought. The design of the house you lived in started with a thought. You see, every business that's ever been built started with a thought. Every ministry that's ever been launched started with a thought. Every marriage started with a thought. How many know you guys looked across the room and there was that gorgeous lady and she's looking at you and you're both thinking like, wow, look at that, look at that. Amen. Amen. Now you're looking like, yeah. Yeah, that's everything starts with a thought, see. Starts with a thought. And God uses the seed of a thought that gets planted in your imagination as the foundation for bringing increase in your life. To move you from where you are to where He wants you to be. It starts with a thought. It starts with you thinking, well, maybe if I did this, or maybe if I, you know, did that. Or maybe God wants to bring increase in my fight. Maybe God wants to heal me of this thing that I've been carrying around forever. Maybe God wants to break the cycle of this in my life. You know. Maybe God wants to fill this church with people coming to Jesus. Maybe. Starts with a thought. Everything starts with a thought. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And reading, we're going to read from verse 31, but this is the account of where the spies go into the promised land and they spy out the land and they come back and they bring a report to the children of Israel. And you may recall, if you know the story, that Joshua and Caleb came back and they said to the children of Israel, come on, we can do this thing. We can go up into the promised land. You know, one of the things you need to realize is that when God gives you opportunity, it doesn't always come in a very convenient package. And when they got to the promised land and they had a look at it, how many know there's big walled cities, there's hostile armies, there's giants. It didn't look like a very convenient package. See, but Joshua and Caleb, they got the word of the Lord in their heart and they got the promise of God and God said, I'm going to give you the land. So they're going to Israel, going to the people. Come on, let's go. But then you pick it up in verse 31. It says, but the man that had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people for they're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, the land through which we've gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, just a couple of things I want you to notice. One is that a negative report is generally an exaggerated report. You notice they exaggerated it. They said, the land that we've gone through devours its inhabitants. How many know that's rubbish? There's a lot of people living very happily in the land, you know. And then they say, all the men that we saw, a great big man. Not true. There were some giants, but there was a lot of ordinary people in there. So negative reports exaggerated, see. So then it says this, that we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So the way they saw themselves was reflected in the way that the enemy looked at them. Now let me run this by you. See, the way I see myself will determine how the enemy looks at me. You remember, if you read in the book of Acts, you remember there was an account where Paul was at Ephesus. I think it's about chapter 19. And it talks about the miracles that were happening. They were sending out handkerchiefs and aprons, and they put it on sick people, put it on those that needed deliverance. The demons would leave. And there's some guys called the Sons of Sceva. And they said, and they were exorcists. And so they were saying to people that were demon-possessed, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out, you know. And the devil would say, the demon turned on them and said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? See, these guys don't know who they are. And because they don't know who they are, and they're trying to copy somebody else, the devil knows exactly who they are. So here's these guys that are saying, we're just like grasshoppers. We have no power. We've got no ability to take this land. We're defeated before. And so now the giants are looking at them like that. That's what they say. They said that about themselves. There is a saying that says, perception is your reality. Perception is your reality. This is not a trick. But those of you here tonight, some of you would agree with that statement. I don't want you to put your hands up. I want you to think about it. Would you agree with the statement that perception is your reality? Or would you not agree with the statement? Is that a true statement? Or is it a false statement? Perception is your reality. So these guys, their perception is, we're like grasshoppers. How many know that wasn't a reality? It was only a reality in their imagination. See, your perception may not be your reality, but if you hold the perception long enough, it will become your reality. See, that perception that they can't defeat the giants, how many know that wasn't true? God had already told them you can defeat the giants. So that wasn't accurate. It was just the way they saw it, but it was very real in their imagination, see. Because they looked at these giants, they looked at themselves, and they go, man, we cannot take them out. They're just going to step on us and crush us like a little grasshopper, and we're beaten, you know. And how many know, because they held that perception, that became their reality, see. See, what consumes your mind controls your life. What consumes your mind controls your life. What you see is what you'll be. So it was never correct, but they perceived it in their imagination, and that negative report, that negative picture, that image that they had in their mind was transferred into the hearts of the people. So now the people are thinking we can't go up, see. That's what a negative report does. It transfers a wrong image into your heart. It conjures up a wrong picture in your imagination. And of course, that negative report can come from all sorts of different sources. Your past experiences can be the basis of wrong thinking that creates a wrong picture in your imagination. How many of you had some tough times? You had some things that didn't work out. You know, if you're not careful, that puts a picture on the inside of you and think, well, that's the way it is for me. You know, you begin to see that. The culture you grow up in establishes mindsets that often create a wrong picture in your imagination. I know for Daryl and I, we both grew up in a fairly legalistic evangelical church denomination. And so we grew up with a concept of God. We had a perception of God, how he would relate to us and all of that kind of thing. That was entirely incorrect. But we lived in the reality of that perception for a long time, for many years. So other people can deliver a negative report to you, and that causes a wrong picture to come into, to be established in your imagination. How many know the devil is always wanting to say negative things to you, about you, and establish a negative picture in your heart about yourself, about your future, about where you go, what you're going to have, what's going to come of you? You know, he's always coming at you like that. But you know, there are over 400 scriptures in the Bible referring to imaginations, dreams, and visions. And it's often neglected by many of us. And we forget the fact that we possess both physical eyes to see in the natural and spiritual eyes to see in the spirit, to enable us to have to see into the realm of the Spirit and see into the future. How many remember the occasion where Jesus said to the disciples, lift up your eyes and see, because you're saying it's still 4 months under harvest, but I say to you, there's a harvest ready now. It's wide on harvest, so you need to lift up your eyes. What's he talking about? Use your other set of eyes. You're just looking at the natural eyes, and you're looking at the paddocks, and you're going, well, the harvest's about 3 or 4 months. Well, okay, that's accurate, but actually there's another harvest that you're not looking at. So you need to look, open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, see what God's doing, see, have a perception of what's happening there. And so our imagination is the faculty that God has given us to process the language of our heart, or the language of the spirit realm. And The Bible uses a Hebrew word, yetzer, and a Greek word, dianoia, to describe the part of your mind or inner being that thinks in pictures and images. So in other words, God has created a specific capacity within you that's part of your mind, part of your soul, that enables you to think in pictures. How many know that we think in pictures and images all the time? We always do. We don't think in terms of words. But here's the point, what you focus your mind on, what you meditate on, what you visualize and imagine determines what will grow in your life, what will develop in your life. And so we think about things in terms of pictures. For instance, if I use the word dog, if I say dog, immediately in your mind is a picture of a dog, right? You don't see the word D-O-G, you don't see that, you see a picture of a dog. If I say a little white fluffy Poodle, Maltese, Cross. How many know you can already see this little white fluffy thing now, see? See, so because we think in images, we think in pictures, and these things are impressed upon us. And so this is what happens to the spies in the promised land. See, they see the giants, they see themselves as grasshoppers in comparison, and that image now becomes imprinted on their hearts by their imagination, and they become trapped with the consequence of that wrong perception, and they transfer that same image into the hearts of all the other people. So now the whole nation has got this picture in their heart. The giants are this big. We can't defeat them. We're like grasshoppers. We can't go there. And so they live in the consequence of that. The Holy Spirit communicates to us in images. Habakkuk the prophet in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, I will see what he will say to me, speaking of God. I will see. He didn't say, I'll hear. He said, I will see what he will say to me. Because God speaks to us in images. That's why the Old Testament prophets are often called seers, because that's the way they received their revelation. Some people hear words, receive an impression in words, but some is imagery. But the language of the Holy Spirit is primarily imagery. And God uses our imagination to unlock our future. I want you to think with me for a moment about Abraham. Abraham's an old man. God says you're going to have a son. In fact, you're going to have a whole lot of kids. You're going to have your descendants. Your descendants, Abraham, are going to be huge. And Abraham is struggling to get his head around that. It's kind of like, God, I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. We haven't even got one kid, and you're telling us we're going to have, you know, a whole lot of descendants. So God takes him outside and he says, look at the sky and see if you can count the stars. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been into the desert. Some years ago, I was up in Alice Springs and doing some meetings there, and the pastor said to me, have you ever been in the desert at night? And I said, no. So after the service, we drove out away from the influence of the lights of the town. We drove, you know, quite a few kilometers out of the town and then stopped the car and got out. And, of course, people come into the center of Australia to study stars and do all that kind of stuff because the atmosphere is so clear. So when you get out there and you stop and you get out and turn the lights of the car off, the sky is so black and it's so close, you feel like you can reach up and touch it. You know, it's just black. And stars, there's millions of stars. Like, you've never seen it. If you've never been there, you can't imagine. Like, you go out here, but the atmosphere's so polluted, you can hardly see any stars. But up there, it's so clean, there's just thousands of stars. And so he's taken Abraham out. He said, Abraham, every one of those stars is the face of one of your kids, one of your descendants. I want you to count them. Come on, Abraham, see if you can. Wow, God, really? All of them? Wow, look, oh, man. What's he doing? He's putting a picture. He's using his imagination to imprint a picture on his heart that's a description of his future. See? So he begins to see something that he can grasp and believe and begin to understand and begin to accept and all of that kind of thing. See, and he comes like that. And in Joel 2:28, where it talks about, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, he says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. How many know that's revelations? So your sons and daughters are going to have revelations. Your old men going to dream dreams. Well, I don't know. I'm not old enough for that yet. I'm still a young man seeing visions. Amen. You have to talk to Pastor Chris. He's an old man seeing dreams. Well, I don't know. Anyway, won't go there. But see, what he's talking about is the automatic consequence of the Holy Spirit coming on your life is that you're going to have dreams and visions and revelations. Because he wants you to see things. He wants you to receive things. He wants you to have visions about the future and dreams about the future. He wants to describe things in picture form for your future. So like Abraham, you begin to grasp something. You begin to get a hold of something. See, you young people need to have a picture in your heart about your future. See, a great future full of potential. Come on, some of you older ones, great future. Come on. You're so excited. It's amazing. Jesus said, out of your inner being will flow rivers of living water. What's he talking about? Rivers of revelation and visions and dreams and images that God wants to put in you, to flow out of you, see. And I don't know whether you realize, but Jesus told stories most of the time. He painted pictures. He told parables. Parables, see. And on one occasion, he says in John 16:25, this is what Jesus said. He said, these things I've spoken to you in figurative language. So what was he trying to do? He was trying to capture their imagination so that he'd tell this story, like the prodigal son. See, and he's telling this story, and all the people can imagine it. So they get this story. You know, half the time they didn't understand what he's talking about, but it was great stories. They didn't always understand the spiritual implication, but they heard the story. Because he wants to capture their imagination. Can I say to you tonight, the Lord wants to capture your imagination. Come on. He wants to capture your imagination, see. And, see, he wants to capture our imagination based on the promises of God, the revelations, prophetic revelations you've had, and activating our imaginations is critical for us in order to see what God is doing and what he's wanting to do. And where it says it's allowing the Holy Spirit really to paint a picture on the inside of us. It says in Ephesians 1:18, Paul is praying that the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart be enlightened. And the word enlightened is the word photizo, which from which we get the word photo, and it has the thought of a negative being developed into a picture. How many of you have been around long enough where you can remember where a camera had used to have a film in it? Can you remember that? A lot of you young people, you never heard of such a thing. It's crazy. You used to have to buy a film, then you'd take the photos, the negatives, and then you have to take it to somebody. They process it in a chemical bath, and they turn the negative into a positive, and you get a photo. You get a picture. Whereas now, it's all digital, and just go bang, 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 bang. Doesn't cost you anything. Back in the day, it used to cost you money every time you push the button, you know. So you've got to be careful. Now you just erase it and start again. So this photizo is talking about a picture being developed, an image being developed on your heart. So he's praying that the Holy Spirit will enlighten our heart, will put a correct image on the inside of our heart by the power of the Spirit. See, that there's a photograph on the inside of you about your life, about your future, about who you are, about what God has for you. Come on, somebody, that you carry the right image, see. I remember Pastor Andrew Evans. I don't know whether you've ever heard of him, but he was the pastor of what was Paradise Assemblies of God in Adelaide, and he was the leader of the Assemblies of God in Australia for a number of years. And during the late 70s through the 80s, he grew the church in Paradise Assembly of God, grew it to be the largest church in Australia for quite a number of years. And he tells a story how that he was leading the Assemblies of God in Australia, and at that time, the biggest churches in the movement in the country were only 100 or 200 people strong. There weren't any big churches because nobody could believe for a big church because nobody had a big church. So what they did in the late 70s, they got Pastor Yong-Yi Cho from South Korea to come down and speak at the pastor's conference. And how many of you can remember when Yong-Yi Cho wrote a book many years ago called The Fourth Dimension? Fourth Dimension. He's got one now called Fourth Dimensional Living in a Third Dimensional World. It's worth reading. It's a very, very good book. It's been out for a few years now. And so what happened was Yong-Yi Cho came down because they got him to come down because he had a huge church. You know, he'd already built a really big church, built the biggest church in the world. And so they were interested, how do you grow a church? How do you really get a lot of people saved? And so they got him to come down and speak to the national conference. And he taught them pretty much the sort of thing I'm teaching you tonight about imagination. He's talking about how Jesus said, if you want the harvest to come in, you've got to lift up your eyes and see it. So he was saying to them, you're never going to have people getting saved until you can begin to see it. Because in the spirit, you've got to build it in the spirit before it's outworked in the natural see. So he teaches people that. And there was a few pastors in the country that got hold of it. Andrew Evans was one. If you know Andrew, he is not an evangelist by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, when he was back in that day, just a very ordinary, very pastoral guy. And so what he did, because what happened was, they started getting people saved all the time, getting people saved. Sunday night was evangelistic night. And there'd be people getting saved every Sunday night. And so pastors would come to him and say, Pastor Andrew, how are you getting people saved? What they didn't know was all Sunday afternoon, he'd be walking up and down, either in his home or in his office, just going, souls, God, souls, God, souls. Souls, give us souls, give us souls. And all the time, he's visualizing them coming down the front, coming down to the altar, coming down to commit the life. I begin to see the harvest, souls, God, souls. Up and down the country, there was about 6 or 8 pastors. Reg Klemenok was one. David Cartledge was another. I forget who the others were. And when Cho came back about 10 years later, now they got churches of 2,000 or 3,000 people. What had come? Seeing, allowing God to activate our imagination on the basis of the promises of God. How's the harvest going to come in here? Well, you've got to see it. See, when you see it, lift up your eyes and see. When you begin to see it and that image gets imprinted on your heart, then you're going to start believing it and you're going to start praying for it with faith and expectation, and then you're going to start prophesying to it. You're going to start calling them in. You're going to start speaking to it. Come on, how's revival going to come in the nation? It's when the people of God begin to see it, when they begin to understand that God said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. When we begin to believe that today is the day of salvation, He's already ordained that today is the day of salvation. See, so it's when we begin to take those scriptures and begin to build that, allow the Holy Ghost to put a picture in our hearts so that it changes our conviction, it changes the way we think, changes the way we see things, and then we begin to speak and pray and call it in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. That's how it happens, see. And see, the kingdom is more about receiving than it is about achieving. It's more about positioning ourselves to receive from the Lord so that we understand what He's wanting to say, what He's wanting to do. For your life, see, it's about receiving. What is it that God has for your future? So you see, what is the next step for you? What is the next promise He wants to release to you? What's the thing that He wants to bring you into as a church, as an individual, as a family, in your business, in your finance, in your, what's God saying to you? So the power of a sanctified imagination. So the question is, how then do you activate your imagination? How do I develop a spirit-empowered imagination? So that like Abraham, he sees the stars and something happens, something shifts now. So that you and I begin to see things. Let me give you a few ideas. Number one, meditation and Bible reading. You've got to meditate on the scriptures because everything that God wants to say to you is contained within scripture. The promises of God. It's the key. In Joshua 1:8, this is the key God gave Joshua so he could make his way successful and prosperous. He said, meditate upon the word, be careful to do it, and then you will make your way successful and prosperous. You know, to pray to God to make you successful and prosperous, you just got to do it God's way. So you got to start by getting the word inside of you, see. You hear what God is saying. Let Him quicken it to you. Meditate upon it, see. And so that's the first thing, and you got to begin to see it. Spurgeon was another one of those guys, Charles Spurgeon, who every time he preached, a whole lot of people get saved. And he had a big church in the center of London, you know, all those years ago. He's preaching to 12,000 people every Sunday, a huge church for that era. And so a young pastor came to him one day and said, Pastor Spurgeon, how come every time you preach, people get saved? And Spurgeon said to him, oh, you don't really believe that somebody's going to get saved every time you preach, do you? And the young pastor went, no. And he said, well, that's the problem, I do. That's the difference. Because that's what I see. See it. So you've got to get the word in you. Number two, you've got to stick around with positive, faith-filled people. You know, research indicates you become like the five people you spend most time with. You got to spend time with some dreamers and achievers, not just dreamers. How many know there are people that dream but never do anything? Now, you don't want to hang around with them. They're not going to do you any good. But you've got to hang around with some people that have gone further than you've gone, that, you know, that are believers and achievers, people that are focused and going somewhere in life. Hang around with them so they speak into your life, you know. So they have an impact on you. Find some. You know, these days, podcasts and videos and live streaming, all that kind of stuff, you can access the best preachers in the planet. You can access the best, you know, gurus on anything you want to think of. And you've got to be careful where you feed. How many know there's a lot of rubbish out there as well, you know? Not everything that people claim to be Christian is Christian, so you've got to be selective. But you can draw, you know, on that, positive, faith-filled people. Number three, you've got to bring your thoughts into obedience. So you've got to reject limitation thinking. You've got to stop thinking, can't, it won't work, it's not going to happen for me. I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't be like that. No, no, don't think like that. How many know God's bigger than that? Come on. Come on, talk to me tonight. Amen. He's bigger than that, see? And it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, you've got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because it gets in your... See, this is what happened. A thought gets into your mind, and then it gets into your imagination. And how many know that little molehill, that little difficulty, if you think about it for too long, becomes a mountain, right? You know, now you've got this big issue because you didn't bring the thought subject to the obedience of Christ, see? And so you accepted it. Now it's gone round and round in your head, and you're worried about this and worried about that. It's going on and on and on and on. You know, and all of a sudden now you've got this big problem. Well, no, you've got to bring your thoughts into obedience and make affirmations. You know, the Psalms, most of David's Psalms are affirmations. Affirmations are just a statement in contemporary language that lays hold of or explains the promise of God. For instance, in Psalm 118, he gets up in the morning. He is surrounded by a confederacy of five hostile armies. There are five armies come to wipe him out. Psalm 118. So the first part of the psalm is, he starts going, well, you know, the armies, the nations are surrounding me, but in the name of the Lord, I will defeat them. I will rise up. You know, God is for me. You know, he's going on like that. When you get to verse 24, he says, this is a day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So he's surrounded by hostile armies that are coming to kill him. And he's going, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad. Because the first part of his psalm is all about affirmations. I'm a covenant man. God is for me. God will protect me. God will enable me. He will give me the victory. Though the armies surround me, I will rise up in the name of the Lord and defeat them. Amen, somebody. So you got to begin to get that sort of stuff in your spirit. When you start feeling like, you know, you're having a bad day and the devil's on top of you, how many know the Bible says you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? If you don't put on the garment of praise, then you're going to have to put up with the heaviness. But if you want to get rid of the heaviness, you put on a garment of praise and the heaviness will lift, see? And you begin to break through. You bring your thoughts into obedience and bring that right down. So your speech discloses what's in your heart. So if your heart is full of negativity and doubt and fear and self-pity and low self-esteem, you start speaking that, and that then creates an atmosphere around your life. See, so you've got to bring all that in. Now activate. Number four, activate your imagination with spirit-led visualization. So you've got to let the Holy Spirit fire your imagination with the Scriptures. When you read the Scriptures, begin to dream of those things. Begin to visualize yourself receiving those promises, fulfilling those prophecies, walking in those realities. You know, I came from a very broken childhood, and I was, as a young boy of 8 and a half, I was sent off to live with relatives that I'd never met, some hours distance away from my home. And I can remember, you know, going to bed at night and wondering what is ever going to happen to me, you know, what's going to come out of it. But at those times, because I'd committed my life to Jesus when I was pretty young, I was only 5, and I'd had a number of real encounters with the Lord, and so I would go to sleep praying. That's just, I would say most nights, actually, I'd just pray myself to sleep. But in the middle of it, and I didn't understand what was happening, but because as far back as I can remember, I always felt God had called me to be a preacher, even when I was a little kid. I didn't know what that meant, but that's what I felt. And so when I'm going to sleep at night and I'm praying, I've got these pictures of preaching. I'm preaching to crowds in foreign countries, you know, different people groups and all this sort of stuff, and I didn't really understand what was going on, but many of those pictures I hung on to, you know, as I was growing up. I believe you for that. And I've been in situations. I remember one time we were right up in the north of Myanmar, and we were doing some stuff with pastors during the day, and at night we were doing crusade meetings out in the fields, you know, and so they had set up a platform out in the fields. And the first night as we walked out into the paddock, you know, because up there there's nothing. Like, I mean, they're very poor, it's very difficult. And so I had an old generator out there with a bit of light. And as I walk out onto this field, I can see the platform. And it's, how many can remember the 44-gallon oil drums? You know, the big oil drums are about this high, big like this. And there's a whole stack of them, and they've got planks of wood on top of it. That's the platform. And when I walk out, I look at that, and I say, I've seen that before. I've been here before, because that was one of my dreams right back. You know, I can see that platform. I'm preaching on it. Come on, because God is describing to me something of my future. See, he's trying to put an image in my heart to give me courage and faith and an expectation that, you know, I'm going to walk into those situations. And it's a wonderful thing. I've been there before. I heard that before. You know, I have, thank God, I just turned 73 a few days ago, a week or two back or whatever. Just turned 73. I have no health issues at all. And you know, I believe that so much of that came out of a revelation God gave me of Exodus 15:26, where he said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, and I will not allow to come upon you the diseases that I put on the Egyptians. And I remember years ago that I took a hold of that. And so I've had this picture in my heart most of my life, and my wife would tell you that not every day, but almost every day, I lay hands on myself and walk up and down, and I say, there no sickness or disease will touch this body in Jesus' name. And I speak into every internal organ and gland to be healed and whole in the name of Jesus. And Father, you said you will not allow to come upon me the diseases that come on the ungodly. Come on, and I got a picture of that. It's not a boast in me, it's a boast in him. I try to look after my body and, you know, be wise and the way I eat and exercise and do all those things. But God's a good God. Amen. He wants to put a picture inside of your heart. You know, Pastor Cole Stringer tells a story about when he was pastoring in Darwin, and a visitor came, a woman came in a wheelchair, into the church in a wheelchair. And so he went to minister to her at the end of the service. And as he went to pray for her, he felt the Holy Spirit prompt him to say to her, have you ever seen yourself walking? And she was a bit shocked and kind of, you know, reacted a bit toward him. And he said, no, I'm not being, you know, I'm not being offensive, but this is it. If you can see yourself walking, I believe by next Sunday when you come back, you'll be healed. You'll walk. And so she was a bit shocked, but anyway, she went. So the next Sunday, before the service starts, he's in the auditorium, and here comes this woman in a wheelchair. And she's coming in a wheelchair, and she gets a few meters away from him. She starts to cry. And he says, what's going on? And she said, you remember you told me if I could see myself walking, when I come to church this Sunday, God will heal me. I'll get up and I'll walk. And he said, yes, I remember. She said, well, look at this. She said, I got sick of waiting on Wednesday. And she pushed the wheelchair away and get up and walk. Amen. She said, I'm not waiting for Sunday. I'm not. Why? Because something's been imparted in her spirit. See, she began to see something. Begin to grip, it's called a sanctified imagination. It releases your future, releases the power of God, releases the purposes of God, releases the promises of God. See, when you begin to see it and begin to build it in your faith and begin to believe God for it, I tell you, it can change your whole life. Come on, somebody. It can change your whole life. And you got to speak to the vision. You know, almost nothing happens in the kingdom without declaration. That's why visualization is such a powerful thing, because when you begin to see it, you begin to believe it. Now you begin to speak to it, see, and you begin to call it in and take authority over the opposing influences, and you begin to shift things. How many know that you're created in the image of God, and God spoke and things happen, and you have the same authority? Your authority is in your mouth. He said, you speak to the mountain. No, don't let your mountain speak to you. You speak to your mountain. Don't let your storm speak to you. You speak to your storm. Your storm's got a voice. How many know your storm's got a voice? Your mountain's got a voice. No, don't listen to that. You speak to the mountain. You speak to the storm. Hallelujah. And then align your life with the vision. You can't make it happen, but you can prepare for the vision to be realized by aligning your life with the vision. So it comes through grace by faith, All the promises. It's not about works. But see, if I really believe something, how do we know I'm going to prepare for it? Amen. So if I'm believing what God is saying to me, then I get my life into alignment. I get prepared for that. I'm ready for that now, see. Get ready for it. Good preparation and good positioning lead to good success. Good preparation, good position. You've got to prepare, get in position, so that when the opportunity comes, you're ready to go. Can I give you some homework? I'm going to anyway. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to make a list of the areas of your life where you need to have a different picture in your heart. Some of you, it's in your finance. Some of you, it's in your health. Some of you, it's in your ministry. Some of you, it's in your business, your career. It might be in your family, might be in relationships, might be in a marriage. Change the picture, the image you carry. Get the right image. And then spend time every day just purposely changing the picture. Just getting before God, meditating on the promises, and changing the picture. Now, you might end up with a whole lot of areas where you think, I need to change a picture here and change a picture there and change. Well, just change one picture at a time. Amen. Maybe you've had and this is not derogatory of medical people at all, but maybe you've had a doctor say to you, look, this is a situation you're going to have to put up with for the rest of your life, and you got that picture now. That's what happens, see. So now you have this picture. Or maybe somebody said, well, of course, it's in your family. It's hereditary. So, it's in your DNA. It's in your genes. So now you got to put up with that. But listen, you're part of a different family, aren't you? We're part of the family of God. Come on, somebody. But see, if you've got that sort of picture on the inside of you, you need to change the picture. Do you know that every cell in your body responds to the way you think? Every cell. That's why, if you know anything about the pointing of the bone, you know that the witchcraft thing or the aboriginals, what have you, they point the bone and say, you're going to die, and they go off in the bush and die. You know why? Because they think they're going to die. Now they've got the picture inside and going to die. So they go off and die because their whole body just shuts down in response to the way they think. So see, you got it. That's why your thinking is so important. That's why the Bible says you transform by the renewing of your mind. You change the way you think, change the image that you see. You change your whole life. Amen. See, breakthrough comes when you make a strategic response to the Word of God and not just an emotional response. It's not just going. I sometimes say that at the end of a Pentecostal service, the end of the preaching, we're like kids at a rock concert in a mosh pit. You know what they do in a mosh pit and a rock concert? They all jump up and down, don't they? You ever seen that? They're all jumping up and down. And sometimes that's what we're like at the end of preaching. You know, it's like, wow, that's a good message. Yeah, praise God, praise God, praise God. But I want to tell you, if you're just jumping up and down, you're not going anywhere. You know that, don't you? You know, an emotional response doesn't bring any change in your life. But if you make a strategic response, so you got to say, okay, what have I got to change in the way I think, the way I speak, the way I do life? What's got to adjust in my life so that truth now becomes my reality, so that now I move forward in that, see? Amen. Come on, put your books and Bibles and notepads aside, and why don't you stand with me for a bit tonight? And we're just going to ask the Holy Ghost to start doing some stuff among us. Is that all right? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for some changes in the pictures that you got on the inside of you? Amen. Come on. Come on now. I want you to just begin to pray in the Spirit for a minute. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on, you just stand up and shut in with God. Just begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Holy Ghost, we just call you in. We thank you, you're here. We don't have to drag you up or drag you down. We just want to release you. Want to position ourselves to hear from you right now. Hallelujah. Rabasa nimo sarando. Iprenekra destele mosha baranda. Eribakaleala. Maharne nemo rodando. Ribedekasa labando. Hallelujah. 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 Now I just want you to stand quiet for a minute. Just stand. Just begin to open yourself up. The Holy Spirit to receive from him. See, the Holy Spirit is going to start speaking to you and showing you things. Ideas, pictures, impressions, seed thoughts. To activate your imagination. I want you to dream a little bit. I want you to begin to visualize some of the promises of God that you know. Maybe some of the prophecies over your life that you've had in years gone by and time or promises God's given you. Begin to visualize those. Begin to see yourself in them. See them walking out. I want to give you permission to dream again and to dream even about material things. See, some of you here, maybe you need some, I don't know, nice new clothing. Maybe you need some new furniture. Maybe you need to update your car. Everything just starts with a thought. Everything grows from a seed. See, some of you carry, this is what I felt the Lord saying to me earlier. Some of you carry desires in your heart that you're afraid to even acknowledge because you feel they're a bit selfish or a bit carnal, a bit material. And so you push them away. But actually what you're doing is pushing away the provision and blessing of God. Because he put those desires in there. He's wanting you to begin to reach out for that and begin to see that. See, what picture do you carry in your heart of yourself, you know, 5 or 10 years from now? What does that look like? What dreams did you used to carry in your heart, but they're no longer there? They need to be revived. Who you are, your family, your ministry, your future, your finances, your health. What do you see? See, spies will come and speak to you. Goliaths will rise and speak over you. Mountains and storms of life will speak over you. They'll prophesy to you about your future. So you've got to come back to the Word of God. So you've got to hear, what is the Spirit saying? What is he showing me? What is the Word of God saying? See, all of those things speak to you. But tonight, I'm going to speak over you in the name of Jesus. I want to prophesy over you tonight what the Lord says about you and your future. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Come on, somebody. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Let me tell you tonight about your future. In Jesus' name, I prophesy over you healing and health, long life and prosperity. Come on. I prophesy over you success and a bright future. I prophesy in Jesus' name that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every voice that's raised against you, you will confound. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that everything the enemy intends for evil, God is going to turn it around for good. I prophesy that your children will grow in the Lord and they'll be protected by him. That your grandchildren will prosper in the earth and possess the gates of their enemies. I prophesy that you will shine brighter and brighter throughout all of your days. You'll go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. I prophesy that though your beginning be small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. I prophesy to you that you shall declare a thing and it'll be established to you, and light will shine on your path in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Come on, make it your own. Lay hold of it tonight. Get that picture in your spirit. Get that picture in your heart. Get that picture in your imagination. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the head and not the tail. You're the top and not the bottom. Oh, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. He's the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We worship you. Ah, that you've given us individually and corporately a bright future, given us a hope. God, you want to prosper and bless us in every part of our life. Increase us. Give us great success that we might bring glory and honor to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Come on, let those images just begin to rise within you. Those desires that you've been afraid to even recognize because you think it's not right, it's not spiritual enough. Come on, let that begin to rise in you and begin to get a hold of it, see. The purposes of God for your life, the desires he's put in your heart. Father, oh God, just seal those things. Seal this moment, Lord. Seal this moment, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The power of a sanctified imagination. Hallelujah. Changing the image on your heart about yourself. Firstborn Son of God. Oh. Firstborn, belong to God. He's going to take care of you. What's the picture you carry? You got preference. You got position. You got recognition. You got favor. You got influence. Come on, what's the picture? Hallelujah. Double portion. Every part of your life coming under a double portion of the favor of God. Double portion of the blessing of God. Come on, what's the picture? What do you carry in your heart? He's going to give you the kingdom. He delights to give you the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. The authority, the revelation, the wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Flowing through you. Rivers. Rivers. Multifaceted flows of Spirit, life, and power. Flowing out of you. Come on, what's the picture? Everywhere you go, there's influence. Everywhere you go, God is with you. He never leaves you. You don't have to drag him up or pull him down. He just have to let him out. He's there. He's inside of you. He lives in you. The anointing that you received abide. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. He lives in you. Amen. What's the picture? What's the image? See? Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You doing okay? Doing okay. Did you get something out of that tonight? Amen. Well, you got to make it your own. You've heard me say that many times. You know, you got to make it your own. You got to personalize it. You got to make the response that aligns your life with it so that it becomes yours and you walk in it. So you got a right image on the inside of you, see, because that's what controls you. That's what determines how the way you think God's going to respond to you, you know, and what you can expect from God. Because how many know little kids expect all sorts from their parents, right? They're uninhibited. They just think dad and mom, they can do anything. They're the superhero. There's nothing impossible. Amen. Well, the God, the Father we have to do with, he is a superhero. Amen. Come on. So you can come boldly into his presence. See, with that expectation, you've got the right image. See, so you come boldly, not intimidated, not inhibited in any way. And we come and lay hold of all that he has for us. So, Father, tonight I pray your blessing over your people. And Lord, as they go to their homes, I pray tonight, Father, as they lay on their bed, that you would brood over them by your Spirit, that your presence would surround them, that, God, you would manifest your presence in their bedroom, that, God, you'd just be so close and so real and so powerful, moving in them and moving on them. Lord, I pray for dreams and visions in the night. God, the impartation of Spirit life and power flooding into them, bringing a new level of life and vibrancy and revelation and insight and understanding, Father, just flowing into them by your Spirit tonight. So, Lord, I just bless every person, every family represented, every marriage, Lord. I just speak your blessing and favor and goodness upon them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.